We're on our way back. Get ready. Last hour tonight, 55 minutes. Yeah, we do want to say tonight, and we just say this for everybody, be very careful of the links. We had some folks put in links before. When individuals clicked on it, their entire computers shut down, went wild. And so just be careful. We only say this because we don't know everybody. I've been on the Clyde Lewis Ground Zero. We've been on there. Great interview that he did with us to share our stuff on there. So we appreciate been on Coast to Coast and many others, Hagman, and many others. Glad to do that and share as much as we can. As long as we can speak freely about Christ, about the Lord Jesus, we'll go on and talk. So, but we're always we're just not always sure about what goes in, and so we just say be very, very careful. If somebody puts a link in, you don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. You know, if you click on it, you know, that's up to you, whatever happens. So we just try to, you know, be a little bit safe there because of some serious trouble that we had in the past. And that's not to say anybody that's put anything in there right now is, but because I know what that link is. Listen, we are in the third hour, shatterthedarkness.net, the website, shatterthedarkness.net. Glad you're here, man. This is 3 hours, and I'm so glad that you're willing to be here. Believe it or not, after my doing my live radio earlier and everything else, it tires me out towards the end. But we got things to do late night tonight. Going to ask you to put us in your prayers because after this is over, I'll be getting with one of our guys, and we're going to just do some basic prayer, and we're going to be out there a little bit tonight. Tonight is Walpurgis, and we ask that God will strengthen and bless all of you and give wisdom and not overwhelm you. I pray the Lord will give us peace, that we will not be overwhelmed, because it can be overwhelming. That's why I'm trying to go step by step by step and layer the teaching out along the way. And that will be good for all of us along the way and try to help. Now, give me about 10, 15 minutes to really give you the last bits of this and some homework. Then we're going to just tell you to begin to throw in all the questions you want to tonight concerning this. So, you know, in your area tonight, you can just go outside the house. In my area, it's really nice today. It's going to be nice tomorrow, 79 degrees and sunny. And we are going to be doing some stuff late tonight. I don't know when we'll get back in, but that is important for all of us. So I gave you the 6 points about gathering confidence and breaking fear in the midst of working with victims. And that's those are important. Now, I have what does the scripture say about fear issues? I know that we have in Timothy chapter 1, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Somebody's already put that in the chat room classroom here. I'm just going to call the chat room the classroom, if that's okay, so I don't have to say both things every time. The classroom. I love it that way. I really do. Because really, like when I've taught, you know, groups in churches and, you know, places and other places around the city, this is really unique. And, you know, 50, 60 of you come into the chat room, another 150 people are listening or more, and that's growing. And then another 500, 600, 700, 800 get into the archives after that. So there's a lot of folks, and we know this. There are victims coming to listen, to observe. There are you, many of you, that really want to learn and grow and want to get involved. There's also going to be some recon folks out there, perpetrators that want to see what we're doing, and maybe even some folks doing some stuff and rituals against or whatever. So preemptively, before the show starts, during the day, put up the prayers, and you're going to see a shield of victory. And I love 1 Peter chapter 1, where we're told that God guards us. The word means shielded. We are shielded by God's power by faith in Christ. And that's important. What does the scripture say about fear? And it is true that the dark side loves to seize people with fear. The dark side loves to just absolutely seize even a believer. Fear of man is a snare, it says in Proverbs. The fear of man is a snare. It can be a bondage to us. And for all of us, the truth is, You know, and I appreciate you putting those in there. And anybody that has verses on the issue of fear, put it in the classroom. And we want to encourage you to do that. Joshua 1:9 is very good. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be discouraged. Do not be terrified, for the Lord your God shall be with you wherever you go. And I have learned that experientially true. Just like all scripture, you believe it, you step out on it, and you find that it's experientially true. So when God commands us, and sometimes that's the way we got to get out of fear. You know, if we say, I'm afraid, I'm sitting back. Well, sometimes when you step out is when God's power, it becomes evident. As a matter of fact, living in fear can quench the power of the Spirit of God and hold any believer back. Fear to witness, fear to pray out loud, fear to do anything. Here's the good news. Hebrews chapter 11, here's what it says, what faith can do when you trust God. You step out in faith, he can take your weaknesses and turn them into strengths. He can completely move you from weakness to incredible strength. That's just how it works. That's what God does in our lives. And he can take us no matter how, you know, we can sit back and say, man, I'm uneducated. I don't know enough scripture. All these excuses, and even the devil can throw. The devil knows how to throw a lot of excuses our way. So look up into the face of Jesus, surrender, step out, let him guide you, help you. He will never, never, never leave you. He'll be by your side in all of this. So God will make you stronger and stronger, bolder and bolder as you keep stepping out, learning more, doing the stuff. You're going to find the scripture is absolutely true. Now, interesting, tonight somebody put in the phrase unshackled. The reason I say that's interesting is because I was going to read a thing on human sacrifice off of a webpage by, I don't know, have you ever read the book Unshackled? On Ritual Abuse and Mind Control, Kathleen Sullivan, Kathleen Sullivan. Her book is called Unshackled. Now, I am going to put a link because a lot of her material, massive content of her material, I'm going to put a link on the archives from Kathleen Sullivan. And that will give you some really good information, too. That's going to be one of the extra points we're going to put up. But that's a good book. Not that I feel towards the end of that book did she have the final answers, because that comes in Christ, that comes in everything. And I've conversed with her by email in the past. And Svali and all others in Suite 101 and many others. So there's a lot of good stuff from victims that are now in Christ victors, and they're growing and they're helping. Like you heard the testimony of earlier tonight, and that's just an incredible picture of what God can do. Take a look at Mark chapter 5. The demonized guy cutting himself naked, living among the tombs. Look how bad off he was. And all that was demonic. Now when you include demonic and then human programming and mind control issues, and you got the two. That's why it's a little more complex. God does not want you to violate human will. The enemy loves to do that, to distort and enslave. And yes, Folly is still around, had some trouble in the past, was gone for a little bit, and I have not conversed at all lately, so I'm hoping everything's okay there with her. And anybody that knows her or has emails, send her a note from me, blessings and our love, Hell Minus One. Now, some of the books from survivors that are coming out, some of them have come out enough to be able to share what they were once in, but not all of them are sharing that Christ has set them free, that the deliverance, demonic side, you know, so you got to be careful. There are a few out there that have turned to the new age, and that doesn't give the final answer, nor do I believe there's that break into the center of them where there's cult loyal ones and so forth. So important. Second thing I have on page 69, what specifically does God say to you about fear while reading Psalm 23? You ever read Psalm 23? You ever read it lately? I mean, that's something you could think about having a team member read when you go down, actually, when you go down and, you know, into areas and so forth. I think it's an incredible psalm that you can really see, you know, this is a picture of experience and life. It's more than just a famous, you know, it's not a poem per se. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, he begins, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not be lacking anything is the idea there. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Look what he does. Look at this psalm. Yes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For you, thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Astounding. What an incredible, incredible picture there. So really, really engage the Lord with Psalm 23. Let it become a part of you so where you can be able to say it experientially, the same things. Well, we have, I want to mention John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, rather. 1 John 5, love casts out. Living in love, God's love casts out. It drives out fear. Now, we're going to go to questions tonight. We have a lot of questions, I know, tonight. So begin to, if you're going to put a question in, put a Q, and then put your question, and I'll try to answer them as fast as I can. There's a question in the classroom, Russ. How much of Constantine was accurate? I think the discernment perhaps was accurate. I watched Constantine twice, I think maybe partially a third time. That's part of my research. I look at movies like I do a book. I do it to research. I look at the premise. I look at the presuppositional, you know, I do that, presuppositional analysis. I want to analyze what they believe, analyze what they're saying. Constantine, again, showed all this, let me say it this way, a lot of mumbo jumbo in the area of spiritual warfare. And that makes for good Hollywood because, you know, we don't need gallons of water and gallons of oil and all those kind of, we have the, look how Jesus did it. Look how he taught. Look how Paul did it in the book of Acts. And you're going to see that's how it works. No ritual books, no other, you know, things like that, that we need. But it's interesting. I mean, they did show, like the girl in the beginning of the movie that seemed possessed and the demon was like really in her neck choking her or whatever. I mean, there were some things that looked pretty real there and the reality of demonic presence and warfare and whatever else. But ultimately, the answer that movie gave was not in Christ. And so there's a lot of things that wasn't there at all. Questions coming up in the chat room. Question, what's the difference between an encounter with a fallen angel and a demon possessed? To me, it's none. Jesus said, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. So we have authority over all the realm of the, in all the power of the enemy, all the work of the enemy. So whether it's like Ephesians 6, Cosmic Rider, Archon, the Exousia, the Porneus, the types of beings. So they all have the same nature. However you look at them, they all have the same nature, the same, they all have, but they have different powers and functions and abilities. So please understand, you have been given authority over all the power of the enemy. You're to exercise that authority. Now, I'm not saying that there might be struggle because there's demons that are more powerful than others, but ultimately you have the authority and you have the victory and you need to use it that way. We all do. Question, do you know anything about the ritual abuse task force in Los Angeles County and others and so forth? Yeah, I read quite a bit about it in the past, and on a law enforcement side, psychological side, they had engagement, you know, way back in the 80s, and so I think in the 80s... they had people come to attack them, and they had all kinds of, you know, a lot of the folks doing stuff in the 80s, when they tried to nail it down, because they never did this kind of investigation. You know, they didn't know about denial personality programming inside of, some. They didn't realize how secretive and powerful the other side could be. So I'm going to say this concerning law enforcement. When it comes to satanic ritual abuse, you will not have, and please go after everything, but the success, you have to have the authority and the power and the work of Jesus in the midst of this. And I know some law enforcement friends that would just laugh at that. Think, oh, I got my gun, I'll go after it. They hardly find anything. So I can only tell you what I've known that I've read. Check them out. Study them. See what principles they use, what can be used. I mean, I read books on investigation, private investigation, FBI profiling, you know, all those kind of things. But I have to put it through the lens of, the idea of Scripture and with the Holy Spirit giving discernment and using what's necessary. And you might be the one that wants to help build a broader task force in your area to where it does include officers that you vet and then counselors and then CI, confidential informants, and everything else, as long as you vet everybody well and you know everybody well, and ultimately you go in the name of the Lord and his presence and power is involved. Question in the classroom: what do you think were important data points in the movie Splice? Don't play games with human DNA. Don't. Tom Horn talked heavily on that too. And it's a hard movie to watch because it's got some junk in it that you don't want to see. But the truth is, this is what they may be doing in laboratories. In England, they had chimeras that they had to destroy. You know that it's going on. The data points there is simply in laboratories like that. There's no question that when they play these games and they splice in and out when it comes to genes, if you take animal genes and splice them in, if you do, other things like this. But in satanic ritual abuse, whether you and I believe it, they believe they splice in demonic presence, if not Nephilim blood, at the point of conception. That's a big issue. Question, Russ, how accurate was Eyes Wide Shut in the ceremony stuff? Here's what I would say about Eyes Wide Shut. There are YouTube clips that you can watch that doesn't involve all the sex stuff. Because, again, it's hard, to watch. Now, see, again, I've been involved in law enforcement. See, when you're seeing slides at the police academy, you're seeing blood and guts and naked people and everything else. But Eyes Wide Shut, I believe Stanley Kubrick was involved. I believe maybe his death was because he showed too much. I believe in the movie that when you see the actual house, that's the kind of high elite. Yeah, everybody that I deal with know they believe that's the real stuff. And you notice the masks they wear, the robes they wear. If you remember the sound of the ritual priest, it's backward Romanian. You can go on the web and find the actual lyrics, there's a breakdown on one website I had. It's kind of a satanic demonic prophecy to the people in the robes against Christ and against the body of Christ. Pretty interesting that they have backward Romanian in that chanting. It sounds like chanting, but it's backward Romanian. And I'm going to say that I think that that movie, which took 3 years of their lives, I believe they were entrenched in some really deep, ugly, underground stuff. And Stanley may have lost his life because of it. That's the kind of high-level, elitist, Luciferian, if you want to say Illuminati, stuff that's out there, I think. I really believe that. It's don't think in just terms that it's all backwoods, three naked people eating a animal, though that occurs. Question comes in. It's flipping really quick here. Question comes in. Are there other notable law enforcement or private task force to use as an example? Well, the book Secret Weapons, you'll see the background of Dale Griffiths and what he got involved with. He was one of the number one investigators in all kinds, almost every kind of case in the nation. He and a couple other investigators. Tony Cowell in the book A Cop's Guide to Occult Investigations. You can completely throw out and reject Kenneth Lanning from the FBI, whether it's a cover-up or whether he just was making phone calls and didn't find anything. Very, very, a person that you just need to throw that stuff, his stuff away. You can check with law enforcement locally if they have occult crime leaders, but you got to vet people to see where they're at. Not everybody I met in law enforcement, some people, they don't care about sex and things. And if people want to do rituals, they don't care about spiritual warfare issues. They don't care about anything. Only if it's some kind of high level crime that they got to get involved with. We have in the police department here, we had one officer, it's a full-blown Satanist. In the department that I was in, there was one guy, it's a full, strong-blown pagan. But being in there, I always look for the opportunity to witness and share Christ with whoever. A question comes up, Russ, perhaps this is kind of off topic, but have you considered a chat room for fellowship on your website? Many of us have no churches, homes, or true fellowship. I have, Shane. I've considered that. We are even discussing the possibility of a string of home churches that are then connected by website. And we're considering that. You just be praying about that. I got to have God's leading. Because we have meetings here sometimes at my house. And people gather from other churches. They come here and they beg me to start something. They love it because we come and we worship. We have 40 minutes of prayer. We get in the Word and we have fellowship. And so it's very possible that we can consider doing a web-based church connection. And then with the idea that we'd love to start people with a model here that we build to start home churches. Because you don't need 1,000 people to be powerful. 2 or 3 gather in His name, and then you can begin from there. But I'm gonna tell you right now, we're praying for specific leading and guidance on that kind of thing. And we'd want to say that we want to make sure that it's very similar to the Book of Acts, and that it involves all those key principles. Questions in the chat room anymore tonight? We've got about a half hour left tonight. We're glad that you're here. I want to give you some homework tonight, too. So if you want to take your workbook and turn to the last page that we have for this week anyway, page 73. Next week, we deal with disinformation, retaliation on the demonic level and so forth. We want you to take a look if you want to, and still put up questions if you have anything left tonight. But on page 73, videos to watch. Now, I'm going to mention this in the area of YouTube. And this is just, again, research, prayed up, but research in the area of Nazi occultism and Crowleyism. Anything that involves Nazi occultism and Lebensborn, the birthing centers. And then I'm going to link onto the archives tomorrow. I'm going to link on there a couple videos that I think it might be good to take a look at. And, again, just, you know, looking things that, you know, there's times you got to even read some of the other junk and get perspective of what they believe, what they are all about. That's what we do in apologetics. If you're learning apologetics and you don't know about, you know, existentialism or nihilism or, you know, hedon, you know, different systems, deism. So that's the same thing here, to understand different kinds of Satanism and groups and things and so forth. So videos to watch, printed with prayer and discernment. I'll put those links on tomorrow, though, on the archives, which I'll have up by tomorrow afternoon. If you want the archive of this tonight, you can go to Blog Talk and get the 3 hours. But with better quality in the sound, we'll have the all 3 hours up tomorrow for you. Question, Russ, are you comfortable commenting on Doug Riggs and his work? No, I'm not on anybody actually out there as far as, you know, it's not for me to do that. Better for you to talk to Doug, better for you to talk to individuals, directly than for me just to say, because I don't know exactly what Doug does in the area of the healing side of things. I've met some of the victims and seen some of the victims and so forth. And I've met Doug a number of times, and I know he loves me and I love him as a brother, but I need to, you know, there's people that have questions. So all I can tell you is that the best thing to do is to engage the material with your discernment and so forth. And I don't want to go third party too much on some folks. Okay. Are you aware of Satanists poisoning food? Sure. That's part of cult loyal parts inside. This is why I'm saying when you're beginning to work with individuals, part of the infiltration issue is they look at everything you like, everything about you. They might even dye their hair to look like your hair. Wear the kind of clothes you wear. Like the things you like. Just to assimilate, just to get near you. If they see you like certain drinks, green tea, Arizona green tea is my favorite in the past, and I don't drink any longer, but that's what they'll bring you. They'll bring you things until you are open to them and your guard is down, and it's very possible. So I don't take any food, any drink, those kind of things from any multiples, SRAs. Not because, it's just a principle now, just an overarching principle with nobody, you know, not to blame anybody or anything else, but I just do it as principle. I don't drink or eat anything anyone gives me now from as far as not healed and just beginning and so forth. Because a sub person, the main person wouldn't do a thing, but sub persons, they'd make you chew on razor blades if they could. Very possible they can do that. Question, there is a group of women and others which say they're mothers of Nephilim. Yeah, we've dealt with this in the 90s, still have. Nephilim mothers, breeders, and people have asked me to come out and deal with that on a public level, and we have in the past. And here's what I've been telling everybody. Vetting the issue is very important. How do you vet someone that says they had sex directly with an angel and they created Nephilim? Because in the way of creating Nephilim, I mean, you know, where's the Nephilim? I don't agree with the premise that they've been put on spaceships and they're floating around in space waiting for the day. I don't agree with that. I believe that all that the enemy's doing, like with Ezekiel 8, can be found out directly in vetting the information. So we do take more time, even though I can tell you right now, I could bring on live individuals that said they've been breeders, that they've had Satan directly had sex with them, that they had hybrid babies and so forth. There's babies that we've checked out. There's women that have said this. So we said, let's go to the gynecologist, because anybody who's actually carried a baby, been pregnant, carried a baby, physiological changes occur. So it can be vetted. And what I don't like is the disinformation where if you begin to question, there's always another reason why you can't find out. We'll talk about that in disinformation next week. So it's very possible there's a number of individuals out there, but here's primarily all of satanic ritual abuse has the premise of back breeding to the Nephilim blood in the first place. Lebensborn, the Nazis, the master race, it's all about that in the first place. So we have, and we have not come out to verify them until we verify it in the grid that we use. So we want a little bit more verification. We have seen disinformation. We've seen where individuals thought they were, but they weren't. And so that's important. You can do a DNA test on people, but how do you do a DNA test about Nephilim when you don't have a Nephilim DNA, you know, on hand to check it out with, other than just checking that it's not human? So you can do it. You can get a DNA test down nowadays, pay for it. You can do blood tests. You can do have a doctor check whether the woman, a woman or a girl, a teenager has if they've ever been pregnant and bore a child. So it's important to listen and believe, but there's nothing wrong, because if it's true, it can be verified. And that's important, that you have more and more verification that makes everything clear, other than just saying, because I've had a lot of folks in with every kind of thing you can think of. I mean, it just, you got to understand, The stories are enormous. We're talking, you know, up to 400 victims in 30 years of listening. And we go after it. We do go after it. I think I missed one of the questions here. Let me see if I can get this. Was Eli Marzulli there when the Mormon guy told you to read the Book of Mormon since you were searching for the truth? Eli was around when the guy was there. Yeah, the guy that tried to, you know, that's part of their Mormon way, to try to suggest to us that we're still searching. And I had to tell the guy, we're not searching. We already got the truth, so it's not that we're searching. And I don't care. I don't have any problem with reading the Book of Mormon again, only to see the incredible Spirit of Antichrist junk and to tell him everything you have here is based on the Book of Mormon, not the New Testament. The millions and millions in your buildings and your temple and all of it. And so my goal was to engage him to get away from the Book of Mormon and get into the New Testament, which he agreed to do. We'll see what happens with that. Saul of Tarsus got saved, so please understand, God knows how to bring people to salvation. I'm trying to look back here. I think we got a little bit behind on the questions. There was one, what about black-eyed kids? Haven't seen any directly. Had a lot of knowledge and people telling me and read about it and heard the stories and so forth. So I can't tell you that I've had any direct engagement. For a lot of this, I pray for it directly, even in the archaeological and the historical and the biblical search on the Nephilim issue. We have a big quest to nail down stuff with that, but not outside the more important task of evangelism and doing the mission. Question, have they done DNA tests on the giant skeletons found around the world? That's a good question, and I will say that Eli Marzulli, concerning the elongated skulls in Peru, they have done. They've taken it to a DNA and paid the money now. Now, in his new book and new material, he's going to come out with results on that issue. I have not, I don't know the results yet. There is online somewhere where I've seen that they're doing this massive DNA test. They're showing that there's a definite non-human element to the DNA in one case of elongated heads and the bones of what they believe the giants of the Nephilim. They are pointing more towards an alien issue. They're not aliens, the Nephilim are the Nephilim. So I believe, here's what I believe on a personal level, it's a side issue. I believe Nephilim presence or bones and whatever else are out there, I believe back breeding to the Nephilim is the goal of the satanic ritual abuse ultimately. The master race, that's what it was all about in Germany. Jack Parsons tried to do the Babylon working, which was to create a hybrid Nephilim in the Mojave Desert. Aleister Crowley was trying to create a hybrid Nephilim being. Please understand, spiritually, there's been this push for individual scientists, the Nazism and the Hitler and Himmler thing, to seek it. So there's no question that there's been engagement, and no question that the demonic side is trying to engage humans. Now, let me give you some information here. And this backs, again, a lot of the people that are dealing with Nephilim mothers and everything else. Graham Hancock is not a Christian. Graham Hancock is a researcher. Graham Hancock has been on Coast to Coast many times. He's a massive, major researcher around the world, archaeologist, things like that. He has a book called The Supernatural. When he talks all about these stories around the world, shamans and all the abductees and spiritual people into things and taking ayahuasca, here's what he says in his book, ultimately. He says, worldwide, there is this sense of these entities trying to engage humanity. Here's what he found. This is his research. The number one reason these outside para-human entities or these other dimensional entities, demons, They're without question on a global scale trying to interact with humanity. And number one, the bottom line is they're trying to have sex with humanity. And he says this, and the reason is on a global scale to create a hybrid offspring. Then Graham Hancock says in his book, he doesn't know the ultimate reasons why, but this is what they're after. This is still a big issue that we have to deal with biblically. Let me throw something in here. The four horsemen in the book of Revelation, the white horse, the Antichrist, the red horse, the chaos, the black horse, the collapse economically and so forth. The pale green horse, when one-fourth of mankind dies, God lists the four things used. The Greek word for war is there. The pestilence is there. The famine is there. Then he says, and the beasts of the earth. Pharaoh is the Greek word. That's the Greek word that describes the Antichrist and the false prophet. It's used of a non-human, bestial, violent thing. My personal perspective and opinion is that the Antichrist, false prophet, or hybrid on the highest scale, Nephilim. I mean, Antichrist, I believe, is Homo Satanas, that it is the fallen cherub that has sex directly with a bloodlined, you know, opposite of Mary, and the Antichrist is conceived as the fallen cherub direct hybrid. The Antichrist is Homo Satanas, Satan in human skin. Now, that's my belief. I really do believe that. But I believe that the fourth horse, the pale green horse, where one-fourth of mankind dies, God says included in that is that hundreds of millions will die because the beasts of the earth. Now, listen. I don't think he's talking about hamsters and giraffes going wild and killing people. I don't think it's a bunch of cats and dogs that start killing hundreds of millions of people. The beasts of the earth may involve either hybrids, in some sense, backbred or hybrids or whatever, the beasts of the earth, non-human but seem to be human, bestial, tearing, ripping, violent things. They're going to be involved in the killing of one-fourth of mankind. You're talking a couple of billion people will die on that basis. So take a look, and you do the study in the four horsemen and see that fourth horse and that element of the beast of the earth. Many others would point to that saying, yep, that's definitely got to be Nephilim in some level. Don't forget that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the end of the day. You know, right? Right? He didn't say, except for the Nephilim. In Genesis 6, the primary, you know, thing involved here, the reason for the flood was to wipe out the, you know, to wipe out the Nephilim. They were there on the earth at that time, and then again later. Many believe there's been a bloodline of them underground, or at least a backbreeding to them, or at least a new breeding program. It's very possible that beasts of the earth in Revelation 6, the fourth horse, the pale horse, is a reference to some kind of hybrid bestial beings. Some say zombification, but I believe it has something to do with the satanic side in slaughtering hundreds of millions. Okay. We've got about 15 minutes left. Any other questions in here? Want to make sure you get the homework. Information to exceed. I'm going to give you another book to read, or at least begin to compile. It's called The Nazis and the Occult by Dusty Skylar. The Nazis and the Occult by Dusty Skylar. Okay? Dusty Skylar. The Nazis and the Occult. Question, dark angel, demon question is a good one. You mean, are fallen angels the same as demons? In nature, yes. In the nature and agenda and under Satan, yes. They're the same in nature. In function, no. In being, no. In Ephesians 6, in the Greek, they're called Cosmocrator, the ones in the heavenly realms. Cosmocrator, Archon, Exousia, Porneus Pneumachai. In 1 Timothy 4:1, the seducing spirits are called Planos. Those are all species of the dark side. So whether you say fallen angel, demon, unclean spirit, Cosmocrator, there's a whole array of species. Remember when Jesus says, in reference to demonic deliverance, this kind goes out only by prayer and fasting. Well, the word kind there means this kind, this species, this type. So the idea of the dark side, fallen angel, demonic, all the rest of it, whether it's, you know, Nephilim spirits or whatever, the bottom line, Jesus dealt with them in the Gospels directly. The most important issue is just dealing, because they all have the same nature. They all have the same ultimate goal. So the authority of Christ can work on all of them. I've learned that, no matter what. It's important. So there are differences, yes. There's no question. Questions in there. Again, information to seek on page 73, Nazis in the Occult by Dusty Skylar. Important. Taking a look here for any other questions inside. We're going to go to biblical studies. I'm going to encourage you to take 2 Kings chapters 21 through 23, a deep study of the Manasseh, what he did to open up all of the doorways to the dark side that led eventually to human sacrifice, and then what God did to bring Josiah into the picture. And that gave a bubble of grace, a bubble of time, actually. So biblical study, 2 Kings chapters 21 to 23. Question comes into the chat room, classroom. If you would put a Q in front, because that way I know it's a question. But I caught this one. Why would a demon try to rape a 70-year-old woman? You know why? Because a demon is a demon. They would rape a child. They would rape a woman. They would rape anybody. They are there to... They functionally, with the totality of their being... You got to understand, there's no sympathy. There's no mercy. They don't have anything. Their nature is destruction. Their nature is harm. Their nature in raping, whether a 70-year-old or a 7-year-old, is to harm them enough to make them passive so they can stay. They can stay in and on them just to bring harm. That's what they're all about. And it's sad to say, but that's what they are. That's why Jesus never had any sympathy for the demonic realm. He spoke to them with authority to command them out. I've never seen a demon in Scripture or in practice, and hundreds of deliverances, ever say, "Man, I apologize. Oh, I'm sorry. I wish I could have gone back." They are insanely hating of God and of humanity, and they're filled with destruction, killing, stealing, destroying, as you say. Very good. Someone puts into the classroom, "I hate demons." I understand what you mean. Very important. Any other quiet questions? They want to stay on top of a person. Why? That involves whatever they're doing. Ultimately, in the so-called sleep paralysis, in every case, they ultimately want to do sex stuff. And it might be, like I said, Graham Hancock has learned, and he's not a Christian, but he's learned worldwide that they want to have sex, and they're trying to create offspring. So what they did before the fall and after the fall, it's very clear they tried to do through the Nazis, through Jack Parsons, through Aleister Crowley, through the entire satanic ritual abuse thing. So there's no question of the intent, the goal, the doing it, going after it. Question, do you have to know which demon it is before you can cast it out? No. No, you didn't. Jesus didn't say, "Are you a Cosmocrator or are you a Pernaeus Pneumachi?" No, because again, they all have the same nature, and the authority is to overcome all the power. So you might find out in engaging something that it might be a certain type or a certain function. They all have names, and they all have functions, and there are those that are far more powerful than others. But the authority can deal with all of it. You stand your ground, you order them, you command them, and you don't back off until it's done. Question, heard from another teacher that the anointed cherub, Lucifer, and Satan are three different beings. Personally, no, I don't believe that. I believe Lucifer, the fallen cherub in Ezekiel 28, and Satan are all the same. I believe that if you look at Isaiah 14, you look at Ezekiel 28, you look at Revelation chapter 12, when it says that the dragon is the ancient serpent, that he is Satanas, that he is the devil, that he is, he puts it all together there. He's all that one head person. So I do believe he's one particular person. There might be others, and I had demons show up in people that said, "I am Satan," It wasn't Satan. They were a demon claiming things. Question in the chat, in the classroom, was Satan a snake literally? I think he morphed into it literally, but more than just a snake, I think the Hebrew would bring out that he was a shining one, dazzling, sparkling, shining one. So when he appeared in the garden, his appearance was morphed to the point of maybe masquerading like an angel of light, but he was sparkling, a shining one. And maybe a snake form in a dazzling way. But there was some level of direct judgment. So whether he took the form of the snake and the snake got under judgment, But ultimately, not ultimately the physical, but morphing like one. And I've watched demonized people fall to the ground and slither. You heard the story, and I've seen it again and again, like a snake. Remember that demons are not humans. They are more powerful than everything else, but they're also, I don't want to say gnarly, but they are like snakes in a lot of ways. And that's why I think they're, it give the figures of speech as snakes and scorpions. That's the figure. A scorpion. You know, we have authority to trample the scorpion and the snake. You know, that's the picture on a physical level of what they are like. What about the other angels that were cast out? The one third, if you're referring to those, well, that's part of the whole array of, look at Revelation 12. Satan and his angels fought against Michael and his angels. Hell's created for the devil and his angels. Angelos in the Greek, they're spirit, they're beings. But, you know, you're talking about one third of the host. And exactly, good point, 33.33% degree. Very good. But again, they all have the same nature, and you have the authority over all of them, regardless of their species, types, functions, names, that kind of thing. Sometimes when demons manifest in people, I don't spend time saying, are you a Cosmocrator, or are you a Porneus Minumnicae, are you an unclean spirit? I have to deal with them, and that's not the most important thing, though we have had to engage with some of them revealing under authority of Christ. They always try to lie no matter what, so you got to rely on the Holy Spirit to really know. Question in the last 8 minutes here, so do they enter, attach on people? Both. I believe on the outside they can influence, like the arrows, look for the believer, Ephesians 6, they can send the arrows at you. That is the involuntary thoughts and communication to send attack against you, into your head, into your feelings that go contrary to Christ, contrary to the word, so forth. And when you understand those arrows and you put up a shield of faith in Christ and his word, you can extinguish them. Do they attach to people? Yes. Do they enter and possess? Yes. But attachment is like Ephesians chapter 4. Don't let the sun go down in your anger and give the devil a foothold. Topon is the Greek word. Don't give him a little hold. A believer can have, we call it attachment, where you get into an area of sin and don't give up, and then the demonic realm grabs a hold of that area. So you're not possessed like a lost person possessed, but you can have an area of your life because you've opened the door. You've allowed it. You've given them a legal basis. You've opened a door. You got to repent. And I would also say then rebuke. If you rebuke the demon to get away, fine. It will go away. But if you don't repent of that area, it'll come right back onto that and attach to that area or grab hold. I like the better idea of grabbing hold of that area, a topon, you know, giving them a legal right. Question one third cast out. What is one third of the total? How many angels? A gazillion. I'm really not sure exactly how many. We just don't know. I mean, really, we really don't know. One third, that we have two thirds, and it's just overwhelming numbers. The numbers can be just off the charts of human calculation. Really, honestly. Russ, when you have, let me see here. Russ, when you have dreams, are they of evil? How can you tell if Jesus is sending you a prophetic dream or if it's demonic? Well, number one, the Holy Spirit's bearing witness. God, the Holy Spirit, is in me permanently, and there's a test there. Secondly, if I have a dream, a word, anything comes to me, does it jive with the word of? Does it jive with the Holy Spirit inside of me? Does it jive with the Word of God and the will of God and the character of Christ? Those things, that's just my grid. If I have something supernaturally come into my dreams, or if I was to have a vision today, or if someone came up to me and said, "Russ, I have a word from God for you." Well, number one, do I bear witness in the Holy Spirit? Number two, does it jive completely with the Word of God? Number three, Does it honor the character and person of Jesus? And ultimately, you know, if it's anything prophetic in a sense, does it come true? So you got to test it. You know, that's what we're told, you know, to test things in 1 Thessalonians 5, test. You're allowed to test. And we're specifically told to test the spirits in 1 John 4 based on confession of Christ, doctrine, and life. Very important. We're going really quick here, so I might have missed a couple. How would you multiply deliverance? Let me see. How would a multiple go through deliverance and perhaps doubt? Let me see. This is moving my cursor, and I'm losing some of the questions here. I might not get to this one. It's going beyond my thing here. How can I post the link to Dusty Skylar's PDF book? If you have Dusty Skylar's PDF book as a free thing, Shane, post it in the or send me a link. Yeah, post it there. Anybody wants that? Now, we know, Shane, you've got now the ability to get a free PDF file copy, but I want you to know that we'll probably take that and put that on the archives also. I might have missed a couple of questions here. So the other cast out angels have no other way to be called for casting out purposes. Typically, I hear casting out of demons are the... All I can tell you, whether any kind of demonic realm, fallen, whatever else, by the authority of Jesus, you do the same. You command them in the name of Jesus. You take authority over them by the authority you've been given. Aren't they already some fallen angels chained to pit? Yeah, in Tardius and so forth. Yeah, there's some that are there. In the abyss, they are there like crazy, and that's going to be open later on. Russ, do you have any thoughts on the Denver International Airport? Listen, I've been through there. I do believe there's deep underground. I do believe that there's Masonic behind it and New Age behind it, and there may be even more a darker side of it. I've only gone through it, I think, once, but it's all of it is New Age oriented. It is Masonic oriented. You wonder who and what, but there's also a deep underground there, and I don't have the top knowledge on that issue, so you might have to find somebody else on that in Denver. One or two more questions other than the homework, biblical studies, 2 Kings 21 through 23, prayer focus tonight in praying concerning the supernatural rescue of victims out there. Supernatural uncovering of their side, praying against all the demonic realm in your city areas and so forth. And then the last thing, point 8 on page 73, taking action. Just, just say, Lord, in the context of everything, what particular action do you want me to take right now? I have not. Let me see. I'm trying to look if there's any other I am convinced we can cast any evil spirit out and deal with them in prayer. I do agree with you there. Listen, let's all together right now put up some prayers. We got about 3 minutes left, and I just want to ask you to join me in prayer tonight as we would just, I have 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Let's put it up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just simply come to say we love you, we bless you, we praise you. You are the God of heaven and earth, and we acknowledge your presence, and we pray for you to speak into our lives tonight, give protection to all believers. We ask again for extraordinary help concerning victims that are there right now, God. We ask you to stretch out your hands and in our areas to uncover things. Father, we ask and we just say we love the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the authority you've given us. We thank you for the forgiveness you've given us in Christ. We thank you for the Spirit of God to be in us and you, Jesus, to dwell in us. We love you tonight. We're asking you to stretch out your hands to everyone. Bless and protect and guard this course all the way. Lord, increase our abilities to help everybody in how we do everything. We love you tonight, Lord. And Jesus, thank you for my brothers and sisters here. We love them, and I know they love me, and we're just joined together. And God, minister to needs. Where there's somebody with a headache, to heal that even now, Lord Jesus, deliver them in Jesus' name. God, the financial issues, we pray for that, that you'll strengthen and help and bless where there's that necessary need right now. Thank you, Father, for your great kindness and grace. We love you tonight. Jesus, you're the center. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Father, I pray for the Holy Spirit, just a refilling, a reef, just flooding us and burning out the fear issues and strengthening us right now. We love you tonight, Jesus. We love you. Thank you tonight. God, destroy Satan's work. We ask for extraordinary healing and miraculous work for all victims right now. And God, that's right, just engage the perpetrators tonight. Deal with them. Take them down like Saul of Tarsus. We pray for their salvation. We also pray for you to stop them. Stop them, Lord. 10 seconds. We love you. God bless you. See you next week.